with you, and please turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 10. We'll be reading verses 13 to 16. Let's stand together. Mark chapter 10. We'll be reading verses 13 through 16. It says in Mark chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "And they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.' And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them." Let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this tender picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that every single person is important to you. And Lord, I just pray that you would continually just mold us and make us into the image of your Son by your word and by your truth. Lord, I pray, dear Father, that you would bless everyone who is here this morning. And Father, we just ask that you would help us, oh Father, that we would strive in our knowledge and in our faith. And I just pray, Lord, that you would continually help us to grow, dear Father. Bless us now, Lord. May you speak to us through your Spirit and by your word. And Lord, may you do a great work in our hearts this morning. Bless our teachers as they're teaching the children. And may you bless them and help the children also understand the gospel of Christ. Bless us now, we pray, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, the weather has warmed up a little bit, and so we're really thankful for that. We were going out last night, but as you know, but Brother Rod and Rosie, they have their ministry of evangelism, and we were dreading the coldness, but God gave us a great evening. How many of you realize that there was a parade going on last night on Water Street? Yeah. So we were out there passing out flyers, and it was a blessing. This morning I want us to focus on Mark chapter 10 as we look at, once again, our Lord Jesus Christ. As you remember, he was in the land of Perea, which is the east side of the Jordan River. And as you remember, last week we talked about marriage and divorce and how God hates divorce. Yet, we know that when it comes to lesser evil, sometimes that has to be the case. And that was I did a lot of praying before I preached that, because I really wanted to be very tender and very helpful with that passage. And so I really appreciate your prayers for me when I preach the Word of God. Well, this morning, we are going to be looking at verses 13 to 16, and we learn that as Jesus was there in this house explaining to his disciples, we learned that many people in that land, because they knew Jesus as, of course, they saw him as a prophet and as a healer and as a rabbi, as a teacher, and many times they would bring their children to the rabbi or the priest or the prophet. And this was a common thing for the people, and yet we see here in verse 13 to 16 that something is wrong. There's a wrong mindset here. And the title, as you see in your bulletin, is that children are important. To be honest, people are important. Everyone is important. We live in a society today, beloved, where other people are considered obsolete or no longer useful. And that's just not the case. Every single person is important. It's not like Hollywood is just the young, beautiful people, you know. But rather, we are to treasure one another. And there's so much I can learn from you. And vice versa, right? And so when I look at people, they all have their story. And what a blessing that is. And we look at this morning as these folks are bringing to Jesus their children. And I want you to just give you the outline here in Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. In verse 13, we first see the attitude. There's an attitude here that the disciples begin to display that's a wrong attitude. It's a learned attitude. In verse 14, we see the anger of the Lord. And finally, in verses 15 to 16, we see the acceptance as Christ shares with his disciples the right way to look at these children. Not only children, but also babes in the Lord. So this morning we're going to be looking at that. And I just want to encourage you, because we live in a culture where either little children or older folks are not looked upon as being important. And that's just a wrong mindset. And I see that even in churches today. And beloved, we're called to love each other, aren't we? We're called to love each other. And we are to love from the little baby to a man who's over 100 years old. We're to love them the same. And to treasure them. To be honest, I was brought up myself with grandparents that loved me, and I treasured my grandparents. And I have just a very special love for folks and elderly folks. It wasn't until I had my own children, your heart just melts, and you see little kids, and they're so cute. So, you know, Brother Brandon, you can go, but you got to leave Luke here. He's such a blessing. My children love him so much. Let's look at the very first part here. We see that the disciples have been brought up all their lives in a culture that looked at children in the wrong way. They saw children as not being really important, not until they became sons, or the men, sons of the law. And probably, unless it was their own children, they didn't treasure them. But all children were so important, and we learned that the greater always blesses the lesser. Isn't that correct? So in chapter 10, we see in verse 13, the attitude of the disciples here, which is not a good attitude. Look at chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "And they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them." And the question is, why did they rebuke them? Well, because they saw that this wasn't a vital ministry. This wasn't important. Yeah, I know you want to bring your children to be blessed, but you know what? Our master is too busy for you. We learned that in the book of Luke, it uses the word paideia, but in Luke it uses the word baby. They brought their babies to Jesus. Matthew says that they brought the babies so that Jesus would lay hands on them and pray for them. Beautiful picture. And so we learn here that they're bringing these children to Jesus. Jesus is in the house. They're probably outside the house. The disciples see them and say, "You know what? Our master's too busy. You need to go and just, you know, he just doesn't have time to spend time with you and your children. So you just need to move along." That was the wrong attitude, beloved. They had the wrong attitude regarding children and God's perspective of children. They were brought up with this attitude, by the way, in Judaism at that time. As I said, children were really, they were not considered as significant. They were ignored, unless they were your own children. And their attitude really was just the wrong attitude. People are so important to God. I mean, didn't Jesus just finish telling them? Go with me to Mark chapter 9. He gives us a scenario of little children and how important they are. Not just little children, but also those who have characteristics of little children, like young believers. In Mark chapter 9, look at verse 33 to 37. Just right across the page for my Bible. It says that he was in Capernaum. Remember this? He was further up north by the Sea of Galilee. And when he was there, he asked them what they were disputing on the road. Remember that? Verse 35, he says, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." And verse 36, he wants to give them a picture. He wants to give them illustration. And what's the illustration? A little child. He takes this little child in his arms and he says, "Look, see this little child? Does that little child have any status? Does that little child..." And the child is dependent. He says, unless you become like a little child. He took the little child, set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. They're important. He's also talking about other Christians as well. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Jump down to verse 42. He goes on to say, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to what? To stumble? It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. In other words, that's a great offense to God. And it's amazing that Jesus just finished saying this to them. And who knows how many days had passed. And here come these parents. Who knows how many children per parent. They came with their little ones. And holding their hands and carrying these little ones. They want Jesus to bless them because they see him as a great healer. As a rabbi. And they want God's blessing upon them. And here are the disciples already offending them. Isn't that amazing? It's like, didn't you guys listen? These little ones are important to God. And we have to be very careful, beloved. If we're involved in the lives of little ones, the direction that they're taking, as parents, as uncles, as grandparents, so important. We learn in the book of Psalm 127 that children are a heritage of the Lord. A gift, a reward of God. They shouldn't be a burden, but rather they should be a blessing. Remind me of a story in 2 Kings chapter 5 where there was a little girl that was taken captive. Go with me there to 2 Kings. Go back with me if you go in your Bible. If you can find 1 and 2 Samuel, find 1 and 2 Kings. If you hit Chronicles, you went too far. Way before the book of Psalms. 2 Kings chapter 5. God can use little children. Do you realize that? God can use little children. I remember reading a story about a woman that was sinning against the Lord, and she came home and she wasn't doing well, and her little child was a little Christian girl, and she said, why do you keep sinning against Jesus? She told her mom, and her mom broke down, and she repented and gave her life to Christ because her words just pierced her heart. God used that little girl. In the same way, here in 2 Kings chapter 5, in verses 1 through 8, we learn that God uses a little girl. Look at verse chapter 5 of 2 Kings. Of course, I was in my 1 Kings here. I got to go to 2 Kings. Sorry. It says in chapter 5, verse 1, Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. And he was also a mighty man of valor, but what was he? He was a leper. He had leprosy. And so we learn that Syria and Israel were not best of friends at this time. And yet God was using Syria because it says that God gave them the victory. And here's this man Naaman, a great commander, a mighty man, and yet he had this disease. And it says that the Syrians had gone on raids and had brought back captive who? A little girl. A young girl. Not only a little girl, not only a young girl, but a young girl of faith. Well, let me tell you, little children can be saved, can't they? Praise God that I heard the gospel as a little child. And so here is this little girl of faith. She's one of the captives from the land of Israel, and she wedded a Naaman's wife. And then she says something they've never heard before. She's a little witness. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Like, what? She's a powerful witness of the power of God. And guess what the master named his wife's ears? They're like this. It's like E.F. Hutton speaking, you know. And she tells her husband, and guess what her husband tells? He goes to the king. Guess what? They have a prophet in Samaria, which is in Israel, that can heal leprosy. So it says in verse 4, the Naaman went in and he told his master, saying, thus and thus said the little girl. Said the girl, I mean, aren't children insignificant? Well, this one has something very important to say. Life and death, you know. And he said, thus said the little girl who is from the land of Israel, and the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. Do you think they believe the little girl? Isn't that amazing? God can use little children. They're important. And then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. This guy is looking for a fight. Who can cure leprosy except God? Am I God? Verse 8. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please, let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Well, how did this all come about? By a little witness. A little child. Children are important to God. And they can be used by God. And you know, if you read the rest of the story, it's a wonderful story. Naaman becomes a believer in the living and true God. Wonderful story. You've got to read it. Here is a little girl who believed in God, and she was a witness to His power. And beloved, we have to treat children, we have to treasure them. Now, they're little sinners, don't get me wrong. They're little sinners. Little sinners grow to be big sinners. Little monsters become big monsters, so don't let them become monsters. They need to be dealt with. They need the Lord. They need the gospel. And as you know, we started the Good News Club. It's for kids. And if you're not busy on Thursday around 2:30, come and see us. We're out there trying to teach kids. That's why we have VBS, beloved. We're trying to reach the kids. And if God blesses us more, we want to start an Awana program where we reach kids in the neighborhood. And statistically speaking, most people accept Christ before they hit the age of 12. Now, if you got saved after 12, praise God. Children are so important. Go with me to Psalm 127, would you? Psalm 127. Keep your finger in Mark. You guys know me already by now. Psalm 127. One of the ascents, it says, of Solomon. Solomon writes in 127 verse 1, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. It's the Lord who establishes the house. It's the Lord that blesses. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. God is the one in control of all things. To sit up late, to eat bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Look at verse 3. Behold, children are what? A heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is what? Is a reward. That's not how our nation treats little children. They kill them, right? They don't see it as a reward. They don't see it as a blessing. And like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is a man who has his quiver full of them. Now, I know some of you have a lot of kids. You're like, I don't feel that happy. But it says, happy are you. Blessed are you. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies and they gave them. What do you want to do with little children? You want to teach them your worldview, which is a biblical worldview, teaching them to trust in God and Christ as a Lord and Savior, and they grow up to be mighty men and women of God. And when you have that, you have some good friends there. You have a great company there. Go with me to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Kind of a parallel passage here. Matthew 18, verse 10. Be careful when it comes to our attitude of children. Matthew 18, verse 10 says this, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. There's some grace there. You've got to treat these little children. Understand, if they're little saved children, it's powerful. Be careful with your attitude. The disciples had this attitude of the culture that children were no longer, were not as important as they should be. They were insignificant. And maybe even looked down upon these little children. Jesus had no time for them, for these families. But see, we live in a society where children are not only looked down upon, but even the poor or the elderly or someone that's uneducated or someone who has a different color skin, we look down on these people, and that's wrong. That is a person that's prideful and they need to repent. And so the disciples were showing their colors. And you guys know how Jesus reacted to that. Be careful, beloved, when you look down or despise somebody else because they're different than you are. Because it just might be your pride. They need the Lord just as much as you need the Lord. And if no one shares the gospel, who's going to tell them? And if they are saved, then be very careful, because the way you treat another Christian is the way you would treat Christ. Be very careful with that. Now go back with me to Mark chapter 10. We see that the Lord discovers what's going on here. Use some very colorful words here. In Mark chapter 10, we saw in verse 13 that they brought these little babies. Here, Mark says, little children. They wanted Jesus to touch them. They wanted Jesus to pray over them. You see that in the book of Genesis, where Joseph brings his Ephraim and Manasseh to be blessed by his father. We also see Abraham being blessed by Melchizedek. It's always the greater blessing the lesser. And this was a common scene. And so they bring these children to Jesus, and the disciples, for some reason or another, say, you know what? He doesn't have time for you guys. Jesus discovers what's going on here in verse 14. It says, and he saw it, and look at the word there. He was greatly displeased. This is what they call the aorist ingressive. In other words, let me give you a picture of that. It's like a steam kettle you put on the fire, and it begins to blow a little bit. Then it gets higher and higher. That's how Jesus felt when he saw what was going on. When he saw what was going on, his anger became greater. And in his anger, he gives two imperatives, two commands. And he tells them that they need to stop hindering these children from coming to him. And I'm sure he didn't do it in a very nice way. I'm sure he was very upset with them, because they had the wrong attitude. Jesus treasured this time, and he loved these children, and these people were coming to him. And so you see his anger. They were just really falling short. It's the same type of anger you see when Jesus came into Jerusalem, and the Pharisees got upset because they were saying, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Pharisees said, they said to Jesus, you know, they got angry. He said, you know, you need to quiet your people down. And says that they should be quiet, the stones would cry out, he said. And so there is this indignation that Christ had. And so we learn that Jesus was upset with them, and he says to them these two commands right here. Verse 14, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Great commands. Beloved, sometimes we might do something that we don't realize we're hindering other people. We might have the wrong attitude, or we might have the wrong actions or the wrong words, and we're hindering other people. Be very careful with that. Especially when it comes to worship. We can hinder other people from being blessed by God. Go with me to John chapter 12, would you? Keep your finger in Mark. John chapter 12, remember this. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. What a wonderful story that is. I love that story. Lazarus had been dead for four days, and Jesus raises him up from the dead. It is believed by that time the body was already decomposing, and Jesus miraculously blesses them, claiming he is the resurrection and the life. Praise God for that. Now it says in chapter 12 of the book of John, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with hair. What was she doing? She was worshiping. And she took something may have been her life savings. Something worth a year's wage. She was so appreciative. She loved the Lord so much. In fact, if you ever study Mary, she's always at the feet of Christ. When he came to visit, she was sitting at his feet and listening to his word. When her brother died, she fell at his feet and she wept to him. And here she is once again at the feet of Christ, anointing him. She was a great worshiper of God. And that's what she's doing, beloved. She's wiping his feet with her hair, and she's pouring this spikenard on him. She's worshiping God. But here comes Judas. And one of his disciples, John names him. The other Gospels don't. By the way, it wasn't Judas by himself. The other disciples were behind him, agreeing with him. And the other Gospels say that they were indignant. One of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? What a waste this is. Really? She's giving it to God. You know what? She doesn't even defend herself. She doesn't even say a word. Jesus defends her. Then he said, in verse 6, John makes a commentary. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the money box, and he used to take what he put. In other words, he didn't get the money himself. It was all about me, myself, and I with Judas. Verse 7, but Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me, what? You do not have always. Jesus is showing them a priority here. You know, when it comes to the poor and giving to the poor, that's important. That's great. Fantastic. But that's not more important than worshiping God Almighty. That is the priority. God is the priority. And so she was worshiping God. And here's Judas raining on her parade. He was a hindrance. And let me tell you, that makes God angry when there's a hindrance. When people sincerely come to Him, want His blessing, or want to be blessed by Him, or want to worship Him, and they hinder. And most of you know the story of Hophni and Phinehas. These were the sons of Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And Eli was the high priest at that time, and he anointed, he had his sons being the priests at that time. And what did they do? They were constantly hindering the people of God from worshiping God. They were commit immoral acts with the women. They're taking the food out of context as they should wait until it was boiled, and they were doing evil. And what did God do to them? He killed them. Not only did he kill them, he killed Eli the same day he killed them. That was a high crime to God. And so what the disciples were doing here really made the Lord indignant because they were hindering these people from coming to him. Be careful that you do not become a hindrance. We can do that very easily. By the things we say, by the things, by our behavior. Matthew chapter 21, go with me there. We see that Jesus comes to the temple in Matthew 21. We see the same type of scenario in John chapter 2. What was taking place at the temple? Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. Matthew 21, verse 12 says, Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out who? All those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. And of course we learned that the scribes and Pharisees came up to Jesus. Well, by what authority are you doing this? You know. Christ was indignant because they were hindering the worship of God. Can you imagine having to go there and if you have Roman coins, you have to exchange them and you have to go through all this buying these animals there and they were just exorbitant prices and they were hindering people from worshiping the Lord. They were robbing God's people. And this made the Lord very angry. When people hinder others from worshiping God, this greatly displeases Him. We have to be very careful with that. But the disciples, you have to understand that their attitude sometimes was very wrong. There was a time, and you can look it up for yourself, in Luke chapter 9, where they're going from Perea, and they're going to Jericho, into Jerusalem, and they... were passing through and they sent some disciples ahead of Jesus and they did not welcome Jesus. You know what James and John said? Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven like Elijah and burn them up? Jesus said, he rebuked them. Says, you don't know what kind of spirit you're talking. I didn't come to destroy lives. They have the wrong attitude often. Remember the Canaanite woman that came to him? In the book of Matthew, she's crying out because her daughter is demon-possessed. And they said to Jesus, send her away. She's bothering us. It's like, guys, don't you have a heart? So over and over again, the Lord had to give them an attitude adjustment. Because they had the wrong view of people. They needed to have a tender heart for people. And yes, they needed to have also the right view of sin and holiness. People need the Lord, don't they? But these disciples, sometimes you wonder, how did Jesus choose these guys? They had a long ways to go. And you know what? God is so gracious and patient with them. But they're still having problems with pride. And we'll see that as we go later on down this chapter. They're still dealing with pride. And who is the greatest among them? But it's a high crime, beloved, when we hinder other people from coming to the Lord. And the Lord was truly indignant. Very upset with them. Now let's go back to Mark chapter 2. Jesus begins to teach them, look, when it comes to those children and those who are like them, that can be a newborn Christian, it could be those with childlike characteristics, they are so important. It says in verse 15, Jesus says, and he says this emphatically. That's where you get the word. Some of you have verily, verily. Others have assuredly, I say to you. Others say amen and amen. That means Jesus is about to say something extremely important. And in this very sentence, he uses a double negative. That's the strongest negative in the Greek language. And he says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Not no way they'll get in. Strongest negative. It's so vital that when people come to Christ, they come to Him with the right heart and attitude. We have nothing to bring to the Lord. We come bankrupt to God. We come only with our sin. And we come to God and say, Lord, I need forgiveness. I ask that You save me. Forgive me. And we turn from our sin. We should become as little children. And Jesus says, unless you come that way, you're no way you're going to make it. There's no way you're going to come to God with your pride or come to God patting yourself on the back like the Pharisee and the publican. Remember that? Or the Pharisee and the publican, where the other guy was bragging about himself in Luke chapter 18. We come with nothing, beloved. We come bankrupt. We come dependent. We come vulnerable, helpless. We have to come trusting like a little child. It reminds me of the story of David. Remember of Mephibosheth? David was blessed. He was the king of Israel at the time, and God was blessing him. And he remembered his covenant with Jonathan, his friend who had died in battle with his father Saul. And he said to his servants, is there anybody from the household of Jonathan that I may bless? I am so blessed and so filled with God's glory and blessing that he wanted to bless others. And they found this young man, I don't know if he was young, but he found this young man named Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth was crippled as a young boy. Well, you know what happens in those days when you're crippled? You just become a street beggar. You have nothing. And they found Mephibosheth. And they brought him to David, and Mephibosheth came to David so fearful because he thought, now David's going to finish the job. He's going to kill me because my father tried to kill him, or my grandfather did. And David said to Mephibosheth, don't be afraid, Mephibosheth. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you and the land that your grandfather, the king, right, owned, I'm going to give it to you. The man became an instant billionaire. From rags to riches. Not only that, Mephibosheth, you're going to eat at my table like my own son. And Mephibosheth couldn't believe it. Because he knew he didn't earn it. There was nothing. He had no status. He had nothing. And he said to David, how is it that you're considering a dead dog like me? Was it because Mephibosheth was so great? Why? Because of somebody else. Because of his father, Jonathan. Because the covenant that David made with Jonathan, it's the same concept, beloved. God has blessed us, not because we're so great, but because of somebody else. What Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. This is a picture of grace. And we see this picture how God has grace on these children. And those who are such as them. We come with nothing. We have nothing to bring to the Lord. But He has grace on us because of Christ Jesus. What He has done for us on the cross. He died. He was buried. He resurrected for us. We are blessed and we are clothed in His righteousness. We don't ever deserve it. If God gave us justice, we would spend eternity in hell. But He has given us grace, hasn't He? And so Jesus says here, unless you come as a little child, He says, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. That's all we can do is come like a little dependent, trusting, transparent little child. Helpless child, bankrupt of anything good. And that's how we come to the Lord. And God bless, He forgives. And He blesses us. Not only does He forgive us, but He sits us on the right hand. Right? He sits us in holy places with His Son. He rewards us. It's amazing how God has blessed us and he calls us his child. So what you find here in verses 15 to 16 is a warning. It's a warning. And he's telling them, unless you do that, and you know what's amazing is that Judas is here among them. Judas has been with Jesus now over 2.5 years, and the man is still has a hardened heart. And Jesus says, "Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Judas should have paid attention. Or rather, the man was holding on to his pride and his greed. It says in verse 16, "And he took them up." He says, "took up the little children in his arms, and he laid his hands on them." See the word "blessed them"? The literal translation is, "he fervently blessed them." Over and over again. They were tender to him. He saw these tender children. It's amazing. And beloved, I truly believe that when a little child dies, passes from this life, they enter into the glory of the Lord. I believe there is a grace there. A little child that's not able to even understand his right hand from his left. Or a child that's not able to mentally develop in a certain way. I believe God's grace is there. I do. When David mourned for his child, remember that? When he sinned with Bathsheba, and we learned that he began to fast because the Lord said the child that's going to be born to Bathsheba will die. Remember? And David began to fast and pray, and he said maybe God will bless and he'll spare the child. Will God kill the child? Allow the child to die. And what did David do? It's all over. He didn't wash his face. And they were shocked. Like, what are you doing? He said, "Well, I can't help him now. He's gone. He will not return to me, but I'll return to him." And the mourning was over. I mean, think about this. The mourning was over. But not when Absalom died. When Absalom died, oh, there was a great mourning. Because David was never going to see him again. Never going to see him again. Big difference. I believe his child went to be with the Lord. I don't think Absalom went to be with the Lord. And David knew that. And he mourned for his son Absalom. Big difference, beloved. I truly believe there's a grace. A common grace upon children. And when children pass away, and God knows already, beloved, Psalm 139, He knows the day of our birth and the day of our death. He does. So you wonder where these little babies go to? I think that God already knows. He already knows they're going to be with Him. So important. Matthew 18. Go with me there. Jesus makes it very emphatic, in fact, unmistakably so, in Matthew 18, verses 1 through 4. Look at verse 3. Matthew 18, verse 3, Jesus says, "Assuredly," again, there's that word, right? Or "verily, verily," or "amen and amen." Or "truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are" what? "Converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So important that we understand these characteristics of children. You know, Peter goes on and kind of jumps on that, and he says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word." Don't stop being little babies. Isn't that what? That's what we are. We're like little children. We come to the Lord as little children. I hope that when you come to God in prayer, that you realize you're just a little baby. And as little babies, I hope that we will long for the pure milk of the Word. Of course, we've got to grow up, become as young men and as fathers, or as some of you as mothers. And so we have to be very careful. Make sure that our attitude towards others is one that's loving. We have to make sure that we are not a hindrance to others who come to worship the Lord. And understand the grace of God is there for these little children and those who are, as Jesus says, such as are these little children. Let me just simply say this in closing. As I just read, Jesus said, "Surely I say to you that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a child will by no means enter it." And it's the way that these children receive the message of the gospel, right? Children can be very sincere and they believe and they trust with all their heart. And I think that's what he's talking about. Say this. I mean, many of us and many people know the facts of the gospel, right? Jesus Christ came. He died for us on the cross. He was buried. And the third day he resurrected from the grave. That's the gospel. And many of us, we know the facts of the gospel. But beloved, that's not salvation. That's knowing the facts. Even the demons know the facts of the gospel. So it's important that it's what we do with those facts. How the Lord is the one that calls us to trust in Christ and to repent of our sin. I even heard atheists repeat the gospel. I have. They know the gospel. But conversion happens when a person places their trust in Christ alone as their Savior, their Deliverer, from the wrath of God. When there is a sincere trust and repentance, there is conversion. So there's a big difference. There's the gospel, but what you do with the gospel. Have you trusted in Christ? Have you repented of your sin? Because that's the outcome of the word conversion itself means a turn, doesn't it? That's conversion. When a person understands that Christ was a sin offering, the vicarious sacrifice, the cross, he took our place. He was our substitute. He took our punishment, our condemnation on the cross. He was buried and he resurrected, conquering the grave. So my question to you is, have you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? That's vital. And have you turned from your sin? That's repentance. That's conversion. So see, understand this. It's just not knowing the facts of the gospel, but what you do with those facts. Only by God's grace can He open our heart and our minds and our eyes and say, I need that. I need forgiveness. I need salvation. And we turn from our sin and we trust in Christ. We turn from our sin. Praise God for that. We have to come as Lord Jesus. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, thank you for blessing us today, dear Father. We thank you for these little children. Lord, I pray that we would not look down our noses at others. Lord, we all need your mercy. I just pray, Lord, that you would help us, that we would seek to be a blessing to others, to encourage them, to help them. I pray that we would have a heart for children, not to think that they do not contribute, but to understand that, Lord, that you love them. They're so precious in your sight. Lord, I thank you for the children in this church. I pray that you may bless every one of them. And I pray that every one of them will know the gospel of Jesus Christ. That every one of them will be saved, dear Father. Lord, I just pray that we would not take for granted that our children are saved, but that we would share the gospel many times with them. Bless us now, Father. Make us a church of evangelism. Make us a church that has a heart for people, a heart for the gospel. We ask that you bless us now, dear Father. Give us a great week, we ask and we pray. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.